This is HeartWise, a program offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life happier, healthier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimal mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Today we're talking about rest and worship, and we're going over the book, The Heart of Health, Avoiding Deception. I'm Tim Cochus, along with Dr. James Markham. Now here's your HeartWise host, Charles Mills.
Thank you, Tim. Genesis 2:3 reveals an interesting fact about creation week. Day after day, we see God bringing to life planets and plants, beasts and birds, oceans and aardvarks. Then he does something many find unusual. Here's what the Bible says. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Well, was God tired? Had he spent too many late nights planning his next creation? Or was God simply putting in motion a law of health to which we should all pay attention? Dr. Markham, not a lot of people talk about sleep, unless, of course, they're not getting enough of it. Why do you think God, the creator of the universe, made sure that the Bible contained the passage I just read?
Well, because it's important. One is, I didn't create the body, but God did create the body, and he knows the patterns and the rhythms that need to control the body. And we've been talking in this series about all the different things God gave us that through the years recently been proven scientifically. Now we're starting to know why.
Yes,
well, God
yes.
knew that there was a cycle that we needed of the appropriate amount of work, whether it be working during the day and resting at night, which is a very important rest. But he also knew that this cycle of working 6 days and resting had an important implication. Because he was the creator. And all the reasons we're just now beginning to understand that, you know, tissue needs to rest 12 hours to recover. The brain needs time to recover. But a lot of this 6 days, then 1 day of rest, I think also that comes to a key word we want to talk about is when I say rest. And rest and worship can sometimes be used together. But there's an important chemistry that comes from worship. So God made us not only to rest and sort of break the routine every seventh day, but give us also a time to worship in a special way. Now, God could have made us to rest, work 1 day, rest 1 day. He could have made us to work 30 days and rest 1 day, but he designed us on this cycle. And I'm not smart enough to know why, but I know that if it's good enough for the God of the universe to do it, there must be an implicit good reason for it. I do believe that God understands these things, and I do believe that God loves me and wants what's best for me. And if God says it, that's pretty much good enough for me, even if I can't explain all the exact reasons for it. So,
yes.
But in our fast-paced world that we live in, we see rest as something that's not seen anymore. People are having problems sleeping. They're gulping down millions of dollars of sedatives and tranquilizers. They're staying up all night watching television, and they wonder why they're succumbing to all these diseases. And then when they're tired, they do things to cope with it that aren't so healthy. So when God created this world, he was looking beyond the needs of Adam and Eve. He was using, you know, he was seeing the things that we would need today. And I think that more than anything else, I want people to see rest as a healing force in a body. Rest is a treatment for disease. For instance, if you are a great a baseball player at any, and if you broke your arm, would you keep throwing fastballs? No. You would let that tissue heal. You would let it get better. Years ago, for instance, when President Eisenhower, he had many, many heart attacks. Mm-hmm. And back then, they didn't have near the technology and the medicines that we do now. But one of the things that they did for the heart at that point was bed rest. You know, you feel bad, you rest. Well, you know, what's been passed down for years? I mean, if you're sick with a cold, you know, you stay home and rest. Give your body a chance to heal itself. There's healing forces in the body that rest helps enhance. So rest is such an important thing, and it's been taken away from us. A lot of people blame it on all sorts of things, but you know, one of the chief culprits is electricity. You know, just think about it. Before we had electricity, people used to rest a lot. But now we have electricity, then there came lights, then there came their televisions and radios and internets and cell phones and iPods. And
probably the biggest culprit,
the light bulb.
The light bulb. And now all of a sudden, the original plan, you know, if God really wanted us to have all this to begin with, wouldn't he mm-hmm. given it to us? You know, yeah. if that was the best plan, wouldn't it showed up at Creation Week? Well, no. The best plan of Creation Week was God said, listen, let's have day and night. Let's sleep at night and be active during the day. And let's take a seventh day where we rest from our duties of mm-hmm. serving the world, of taking care of animals, of taking care of the planets, and not only rest our physical bodies, but rest our mental bodies and reconnect in a special way, a worshipful way with our Creator. And that's another very powerful treatment that we have is worship. And one of my favorite texts in the greatest medical book of them all, which I consider the Bible, one of the yes. greatest prescriptions for everybody, one of the greatest surgeries that can be done comes in Matthew. Says, come unto me, all ye are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So by rest. Worship, you mm-hmm. receive rest. You receive that special prescription just by in worshiping God. And now how we worship, there's so many different ways to worship. We can maybe talk about that later. But during our weekly day of rest, we were made to worship and reconnect with our God in a special love-type relationship, even beyond what we do on a daily basis. And I want people to see this as a treatment and a way to prevent some of the ailments that we have and the path to ultimate healing.
You know, you talk about faith and how you may not have to know why God did what he did, but we can certainly have evidence, Dr. Markham, that we're not doing it right. When we have so much disease, so much chronic problem in this world, and we have everyone is so sleepy and so tired and so fatigued and can't get their rhythms right and everything, we just got to know we're doing something wrong. So Don't look at it this way, listener, as, you know, what am I doing right? Talk about what we're doing wrong. And that's the standard that we're using. The days of creation brought out a standard, a structure on which to build health, and one of those is rest. And Dr. Markham, it makes it very clear that rest is not necessarily sleep. Am I on the right track here?
Exactly, Charles. Sleep and rest is important, but there's more to rest than just physical rest. There's this mm-hmm. mental rest, and also this, you know, we were designed, you know, back at creation, we were designed to worship the God, the Creator. We were designed to love the one that loves us the most. That's the way yes. we were made. We were made to design to connect with our Father. That desire was programmed into our genetics, programmed into our DNA. And when we don't do that, it damages our whole system. You know, there's mm-hmm. a longing for us to be with God, to love God, yes. to find God, to connect with him. That's how we were designed to be. When we don't do these things, our chemistry is damaged. When we do these things, our chemistry is enhanced, more so than we can ever realize. And you think about some of the examples we've seen of prayer, God coming in and making things perfect immediately, taking away tumors. I've seen God work in these ways. He answers prayers this way. He can heal immediately if he so chooses. Mm-hmm. We've heard of all these great examples of how God can change a person immediately. And we think about Saul, who was actually not the nicest guy. God turned him around in the blink of an eye. But the power that we have in connecting with God in that relationship through faith, letting the Holy Spirit, is beyond what we can imagine. And yet nowadays we de-emphasize that in everything. You know, I'm just so glad that we have hospitals where there's prayer, where there's intercessory prayer, where we ask for the great physician to lead the healthcare team, not only to be a part of it, but to lead in healing
yes.
and to have
yes.
his will done. These are more than mere words. And when we start living this, then we start getting the power. I'm longing for the day where I'm hoping, you know, in my life that God will use me to be able to walk up to people just like in the old days and say, listen, I'm giving you the healing power to take away this illness, you know, through the power that I have in you. We've seen this happen in the past. You know, the disciples healed mm-hmm. that way. And yet, at the same time, if that healing doesn't occur in people's life, we shouldn't be discouraged because God doesn't heal the same way. You know, sometimes yeah. he heals by giving people power to eat better or exercise more or rest better or to worship better. But, you know, but we're all promised that if we walk with him in that relationship, accept his gifts, accept his promise, promises, believe in him, that we can have ultimate healing. And that's what we need to teach in modern medicine day. Healing and being well is more than just the absence of disease. It's the presence of a love relationship with God. It's a presence of a worshipful experience with him.
Oh, that is so true. So many people, I would assume, Dr. Markham, you come across these people a lot. They'll say, I want to be well, and I want to have God heal me. And you say, okay, let's look at God's rules. God's rules says things like you have to have fresh air and sunshine, you have to eat. Well, no, I just want God to heal me. I don't want to change the way I live. I don't want to rest. I don't want to worship. I don't want to eat right. I just want God to heal me. God doesn't work that way. Doesn't God work through his own natural laws to bring healing to a body?
Exactly. He does, Charles. And you know, and some concepts that we found recently, you know, God's, you know, told us about the importance of light. You know, yeah. We talked about in the book light being truth, but also the physical sunlight that hits our skins that helps activate a hormone, vitamin D, which helps our serotonin, our many chemistry reactions. Well, this is just one that we've proven scientifically, okay? We know the importance of water, what happens when you don't drink water. We now see from some excellent work by T. Colin Campbell and others the importance of a plant-based diet. We see all those things. We know that rest is important. These are being proven scientifically. But what's going to be proven in the future? I don't know when, whether it's going to be proven on this earth, but it's going to be proven that when God's in a life, when there's worship that's going on in a life, when there's that love relationship with the Creator, we change our chemistry, we change our ability to fight disease and cope with things both mentally and physically more than anything that we can imagine. Years ago, we weren't talking about vitamin D. We weren't talking about water. We weren't talking about some of these things. But, you know, I just can't wait till the technology proves what worship does. I would love to do that study of taking people and show, you know, we've had a few rudimentary studies at the University of Pittsburgh. They did a study with people that just prayed for 15 minutes a day or worshiped that, and what it did to the prefrontal lobe, our thinking segments. Mm-hmm. They showed that those people that did that, just 15 minutes a day, were a lot, that part of the brain grew, and the part that dealt with emotions and bad things, the emotional aspect of disease, the limbic system and those systems actually shrunk. So by worship, we increased the brain power we had and the ability to think logically and the body. And it only makes sense if you're thinking logically and taking care of yourself. Other chemical reactions are going to improve dramatically. You're going to be able to heal yourself better when the part of the brain that's supposed to be doing those things is actually working appropriately. So just the brain chemistry of worship has already been proven. So it only makes sense that these other aspects should be proven. But unfortunately, in the world we live in, no one's going to pay for these studies to be done, but it makes sense biblically. And everything else that God said has always been proven to true. I'm sure, I'm 100% sure that this treatment of rest via worship, is one of the most powerful healing forces that anyone can have. And it should be a part of every treatment regimen, both to treat disease and also prevent disease.
Well, this is very clear. You have made it very clear that God did not do this by accident. God did it on purpose. When God says that he rested on the seventh day, he is telling us that we need to consider this very seriously for our own health and well-being. When we come back after our break, let's start talking about ways that we can worship God, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, ways that we can spend time each week on a regular basis worshiping God and enjoying the healing that brings to our body through that rest and worship. We'll do that when we return. Tim?
Alrighty. It's called The Heart of Health, Avoiding Deception. Would you like a copy? I'll give you the phone number. It's 423-790-7421. Give us a call, 8 to 5 Eastern, Monday through Friday. We'll be right back.
The power of choice. It led a teenager to lose his first job. It led him to a rough life on the sea, and it led him to years of confrontation and controversy. Looking back at his life, he said, "I sinned with a high hand, and I made it my study to tempt and seduce others." After years of dissidence and depravity, he finally saw the light and chose to live for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Overwhelmed by this truth, he penned a testament to God that reflected his own transformation. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton was a new creation, thanks to God's amazing grace. Make the Bible part of your life with free daily ESV Bible reading sent directly to your computer. Check it out today at BibleForLife.org.
Here's your daily heartbeat with Dr. James Markham.
How do we know what's true in the world of diet and weight loss? You know, sometimes we hear low fat, high fat, low carb, high carb, low protein, high protein. Then recently I read an article that says none of the diet plans out there work long term. Well, I say let's get back to the biblical treatment. Let's get back to what the Bible says. You know, friends, the original diet consisted of fresh fruit, nuts, grains, and water. This was the biblical diet. This made Daniel and his friends much smarter than the others just by getting back to the basics. So one thing I want to urge you in any diet plan, let's get back to the biblical plan. Fresh fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, water. Make that the cornerstone of your good diet.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org. Welcome back to Heartwise as we continue to discuss the book Heart of Health, The Heart of Health, Avoiding Deception. And if you'd like to get a copy, you can do so by calling this phone number, 423-790-7421. You can do that 8 to 5 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Or you can also go to our website, heartwiseministries.org. Charles?
You know, we're talking about rest and worship, Dr. Markham, and you have this book, Heart of Health, Avoiding Deception. Are there deceptions when it comes to worship that we should be aware of?
Yeah. Sure. A lot of, you know, throughout time, it's always been about worship. It's been very important. You know, God gave us a seventh day to rest and worship. And if you look through the history of the earth, you know, whether it be in Daniel's time, whether they worshiped an idol, or whether it worshiped a king, it's always been about worship. Even in Christ's time, did they worship the Christ that was here, or did they worship the Pharisaical systems that are out there? Well, what are some of the deceptions now? Well, some of the deceptions are so subtle we don't even realize some of the things we worship. Kelly, my daughter, okay, came back to me not too long ago, said, you know, why do people make such a big deal about football and other sports? And if you think about that, you know, that's something some people are worshiping, you know, nowadays. Anything that we put ahead of God is something we could be worshiping, and we don't even realizing it, whether that be our jobs, the food we eat, the people we hang out with, you know, wherever we spend our time, it can turn into worship, whether it be a television show. A lot of people spend more time doing television than anything else. Yes. Nowadays, we see these I have a person that came in the office yesterday that spent hours in fantasy football. I don't know if you've ever heard about that, but they create these fantasy football leagues and teams. I had another person that was addicted to these, what they call Game Boys, and these games on. But people can worship whatever they spend time with the longest, because we become like that, we worship. And the more time we spend it, the more we become like it. So it could be very subtle.
Well, I'd like to challenge our listeners right now. Right now, we might have some doubters listening saying, you know, oh, I'm not like that. You know what? Think about something you haven't seen in a while, but just focus in on it, and all of a sudden you'll see it. It'll appear in front of you, and you're like, I never saw that. It's like when they came out with the VW bugs, nobody ever noticed them until I said, I haven't seen one. All of a sudden, I'm watching them go by me every day and see dozens of them. If you don't see it and you're not looking for it, it's right there. You just don't see it. Your mind just passes over it. It's like white noise. It's back there. You're just not recognizing it. So we do get distracted, and it does come to light when you realize, oh, that is a problem in my life. So you have to face these things, but you have to be aware of them first.
Exactly. And it can happen so subtly that you don't realize it. But wouldn't it be great if our places of worship, experiencing growing attendance with hundreds of thousands of people paying money, standing in lights to pay homage to our Creator, wouldn't it be great if our local talk shows were building this big event up every week? You know, this day of rest, we're going to talk about the Savior and how He created the birds and how He loves us so much. Wouldn't it be great if we had these television – with these shirts on us instead of our favorite team on it, you know, mm-hmm. our favorite spiritual text on it. You know, wouldn't it be great if that was occurring in our society? Wouldn't it be great if our pages had pages and pages talking about God and how he's helped us out and stories about his love and his saving grace instead of, you know, these box scores everywhere? You know, wouldn't it be great if our television networks talked about the glory of God and all the things he's doing in our life? This worship thing can be very subtle.
And why we don't do that? We have the deceptions in our own life right there.
Right.
We're being deceived.
Right.
There's other things that are avoiding, creating these blockers that are not allowing us to actually be open about it and tell ourselves the truth.
Right.
And we don't want to be embarrassed. Oh, I'm a football fan, but I never tell my boys. You know, my guys.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with these things.
Prioritize them.
Exactly. As long as we don't worship them.
Right.
As long as God's number one and in our lives. And mm-hmm. But, you know, we've talked about this as a great prescription, as a great road to health. But, you know, how can a person do that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That's the question I want to ask, because what does God make available to us that can help us with this worship experience, Dr. Markham?
Well, let's go back to the original template, okay? The original template was he spent time. You know, you have to spend mm-hmm. time with God. Well, what's spending time with God look like to someone that might not even, you know, have thought about this before, but wants to have a healing power in their life?
I'll tell you what. Go outside on a nice, clear night. Look at the stars. Try and see as far as you can into space and say, wow, look what you've created, Lord. Yeah, think about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good start, because people think, you know, how can I do that? Where do I start? I'm just thinking of, look at the universe.
Look at his creation.
Look at his creation.
Right.
If you want, look in the mirror and look at yourself. You're a beautiful creation.
You know,
he didn't talk about anything else in the Bible, but he was concerned and loves us as human beings.
And to have a relationship, it takes talking.
That's right.
So spend time talking. Spend time listening.
Mm-hmm.
He's written us a great letter we've talked about that numerous times in the Bible, where he speaks through that. He can speak through others, whether it be a church family.
Mm-hmm.
He can speak through as we serve other people. He can, you know, there's so many ways God can talk to us and develop that relationship with us, but we have to go looking for it. He's promised us that if we go looking for him, if we open the door, he's going to come in.
That's true.
We have to get out of.
If you look for me, you'll find me.
That's right.
If you look for me, you'll find me.
We can't have tunnel vision. God's working all around us. If we've got tunnel vision and we're so focused selfishly on ourselves and what we want, we'll never see what God's doing around us.
So we can look for this prescription, mm-hmm. this healing prescription. We can go out and look for it. And as we look for it, he will find us and he will teach us how to love him, how to worship him. And it might not be the same way for every person.
That's right.
Tim, it might be find him out. The most spiritual times where they worship him the most, it might be walking on the beach, talking to him. Mm-hmm. It might be in the solitude of woods. Some people, it might be even working for him.
They
find it, you know, in going to a nursing home and visiting someone else, or even on their hospital rounds like I do frequently. I feel God's presence working with me as I minister to other people. You know, so it might be in a church pew where you're praying or someone's ministering to you. But there's tons of ways to worship. But the important thing is to worship, because we become like that we worship.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So well, Dr. Markham, thank you very much for clarifying this. Why did God rest? Because he wanted to give us a template of worship. It's all about worship. I like that. And this is from The Heart of Health, Avoiding Deception, a wonderful book by Dr. James Markham. I recommend it. And Tim, how can people find this book?
Well, they can give us a phone call. Here's the phone number, 423-790-7421. They can call 8 to 5 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. You can also go to our website, heartwiseministries.org. And folks, Heartwise is a production of Heartwise Ministries. And on behalf of Charles Mills, Dr. James Markham, I'm Tim Cochis. Until next time, may God bless you.